And welcome back to the final segment of this rare, full Kogan After Hours. A few years ago, the hottest play in town was a play about Lenny Bruce by a person I did not know until he came here. The show is called I'm Not a Comedian, I'm Lenny Bruce, and it was a sensation. I was intrigued initially by the fact that it was directed by my great friend, Joe Mantegna. And that was a good enough entree for me to sit down with Ronnie Marmo and say, oh, my God, how do you know Joe? Ronnie is back now, not only with I'm Not a Comedian, I'm Lenny Bruce, but also another play. We're going to talk about them both. Ronnie, you're in the middle of tech rehearsals, aren't you, right now?
Hello, Rick. I certainly am. I'm it's been crazy. We're almost done lighting the show, but we're in the middle of tech, and we're having a blast.
Well, and it's good. Good, you can take a little half-hour break with me. You did not know, even with the Joe Mantegna connection, what to expect from Chicago, did you? Because you didn't really know the theater scene here, even though Joe might have told you, well, Rick Kogan's a good guy, and Dick Crittenden's a good critic, and blah, blah, blah.
I had never been to Chicago before my first time here with Lenny. Of course, I always daydreamed about coming, and I heard how amazing the theater scene was, but I had never really experienced. I'd never been here, and we went to we did the show in Los Angeles for a year and a half. It went great. Then we went to New York for 9 months, and then Joe was like, "Well, what's next?" And we both kind of said, "Let's go to Chicago." And we came here for 6 weeks, and that turned out to be 6 months at the Royal George. And other than that little thing called the pandemic shutting us down, I feel like we'd still be running, you know. It was amazing. And so I fell in love with Chicago. I really did. And that's not lip service. I really, well, you know how I feel. So
I do. And you were understandably wowed by the reception here, were you not?
I was. In fact, you know, I always say, and I hope this interview doesn't leak to New York or L.A. because I'm going to get in trouble. But I always say, Los Angeles, the theater people are great, better than you expect. And they're grateful you're doing theater and they love the show. New York is more of a, let's see what you got, buddy. Oh, okay, it is good. So in other words, you got to prove yourself. In Chicago, the theater people here, the audience, they're very savvy and they know what they want. And they're a smart theater group, but also are rooting for you. It's just a different energy. It's kind of like this thing where they go, we have an expectation, don't bring us any schlock, but at the same time, we want you to be great. And so there's just this thing that happens. They buy the ticket, and you feel the energy right from the audience. It's like you feel like you're performing for friends every night. Well, really, truly.
And you felt it until that March 15th, 2020 day, when you had to shut down. You're at the Royal George. And it came to a, as many things in life did, Ronnie Marmo, a crashing end. You could not possibly have imagined that it was going to be as long a shutdown as it was. I don't think anybody in the theater business did.
No, I told everybody on March 15th. See, I had been playing the sellouts before that.
Yeah.
And it was great. I mean, it was packed every night. And then on March 15th, there were that whole weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I had like 10 people there, 8 people there. Mm. And I can't see past the front row. So
right.
It was like the weirdest thing. People were sitting in the back, and there was a few chuckles. And I was like, is anyone here? What's going on? So on March 15th, I turned to my crew, and I said, listen, I'm going to get on a plane and go back to L.A. And I didn't have a plane ticket. I was just freaking out. I'm going to go back to L.A. I'll see you guys in a couple of weeks.
Right, right.
And 18 months later, I came back and cleaned out my locker, as it were.
You know? Yeah, it was.
So it was crazy.
But it must be. I mean, you have performed the show. You came here and performed it subsequently for a relatively shorter run at the cabaret next to the Mercury Theater. And then at a big show in Skokie. You've always, and around the country, too, Ronnie Marmor, you've done this show. Your eagerness to return to Chicago is intense.
Yeah, it's wonderful. I mean, listen, Ran 6 months at the Royal George.
Yep.
We ran almost 6 months at the Venus Cabaret. Which
wow.
Was connected to the Mercury.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was during January and February, too, which is tough.
It was, very tough.
We took a few weeks off, but it was great. But then, yeah, we came to Skokie, and I played the 900-seat theater, and we sold out a couple of performances there in September of this past year. And now, we're back again with Lenny, and to me, we have been touring the country, and it's been going great. But Chicago truly is my second home, and so I couldn't wait to get it back here.
Let me ask you, you have now done this show, Ronnie, I've got to think something in the neighborhood of 500 times? 500 performances?
438, but who's counting?
Yeah, no, we'll round it off to 450. We'll round it off to 450.
You're giving me more credit than I deserve so far. I've got another 60 performances.
One of the things is, and I've seen you perform many times, I want to know the secret of how you remain so engaged and active and emotional in what is to my mind, a very tough, it's a one-man show. It's a one-man production. How do you do that, Ronnie Marmo?
You know what? If I figure it out, I'll probably stop. So it's best I just, you know what the truth is, Rick? I show up every night, and the material's relatively the same, although I am the playwright, so
right.
I tend to have fun once in a while. So I tinker a little bit. Joe Montana gets mad. He says, stop it. Stay off Google, you know? I read something about Lenny. I'm like, it's going in the show. But the truth is like, my heart doesn't know that I'm acting. And so every night I show up, and I don't try to give you a cookie-cutter performance. I show up where I'm at, and the words are virtually the same, but I'm not. And so there's a relationship between the audience and the actor that is something that can't be, you know, copied anywhere in showbiz. And so there's the relationship. Some nights it's a full-on comedy. Other nights it's a tragedy. And so it's really basically a... You know, where am I at? Where's the audience at? What are we going to hear together
tonight? I get it. It is. It's like
that's why people come back repeatedly.
Yeah,
you know?
And it's like a jazz singer too. I mean, the best, the greatest jazz singers do not sing. Even Frank Sinatra do not sing the same song in the same way ever. Another interesting element to your performance in Chicago is you met. Not even in essence, you met the love of your life here, didn't you?
That is true.
How did that happen? It's such a good story, Ronnie.
Thanks, Rick. So I was doing the show at the Royal George. It was November 8th, 2019. And Janelle came to Chicago on business from New Jersey. We didn't know each other. And she Google searched, her girlfriend, couldn't come out. She was ill and didn't feel well. So Janelle was stuck in her hotel room, and she's like, you know what? I'm not going to sit in the hotel room on a Friday night. So she Googled best show to see in Chicago, and I'm flattered that, you know, mine came up as one of them. And there was only one ticket left in the front row,
amazing.
And it seemed intriguing to her.
Uh-huh.
So she bought the ticket. She showed up. She sat in the front row. And after the show, we kind of, you know, I was waiting outside saying hello to a few people who saw the show. And she walked up, and it was just like I did a double take. And I was like, oh, no, there goes the next 10 years of my life. And we just had that moment that you could only dream of. And you know, we've talked every day since. We've been married a year and a half. And
you got married in L.A., right? Was it in L.A.?
July 2nd in L.A.
And who was the officiant at the wedding?
The one and only Joe Montana. He got ordained to marry us, and you had to see how proud he was. He signed up with the, you know, Universal Church, whatever that is.
Yeah, I've done that. I did that once. It's not hard. I think it costs $10, but it does give you a proud kind of moment there. And Janelle's been with you ever since. I mean, she has not seen the show more than 400 times, but she's getting up there, isn't she?
She's probably seen it realistically 250 times.
Wow.
I mean, she sees it every night.
Wow.
And Joe was so funny at the wedding. He went around the whole night and showed everybody his badge. He couldn't wait. He's like, I'm qualified to do this. I'm legit. So now, instead of Joe, I call him Father Giuseppe.
Father Giuseppe.
He loves it. He goes crazy. So,
well, and Janelle,
anyway, it was really special. I mean, he's one of the most important men in my life. And
oh, no question.
Janelle and I were trying to...
Tell that story, if you will, Ronnie, and then we'll take a little break, about how, you know, you were not childhood friends with Joe Mantegna. You had admired him as an actor, and at some point you just kind of called him, right?
Well, Joe's probably 25 years older than me, so I always kind of looked up to him. But I was making a movie. It was a film that I had written. It was a play and turned it into a movie. And I hired all my friends to be in the movie, and I was like, I've got to get that actor Joe Mantegna. I love this guy. And I'm like 27 years old, and so I found a P.O. box for Joe, and I'm like, this guy's never going to get it, but I'm going to send him a love letter. And I sent him the script, and I just basically said, Joe, I admire, you know, how you've navigated your career as an Italian-American actor. I know how tricky that can be. You don't want to play all Vinnies and Tonys and all this. And so I was like, basically, I just wrote him this love letter, and I said, and here's my script. I don't know if you would consider giving this kid a shot, but... I would be, you know, I would love it. Anyway, a couple days later, he calls me up. He's like, this is Joe Mantegna. Is this Ronnie? I'm like, yeah. He's like, let's have lunch.
And, you must have, even when you sent it, you must have thought, well, this is a long shot. But that is indeed the way Joe is. And is he going to come in this new run, the new run of, and this is such an ambitious thing you're doing. Ronnie has taken over the... Fabulous. It's a great space. The Richard Christensen Theater at the old, you know, where the Biograph Theater is. He is doing I'm Not a Comedian, I'm Lenny Bruce. That opens on March 14th. But before that, this coming week on Thursday, formally on Friday, he is directing and starring in another show called Bill W. and Dr. Bob. These are going to run in repertory, but this week... That show takes place Thursday's the informal opening, Friday's the formal opening, and after a short break, he's not unfamiliar with this play, and it sounds and it's a play that has gotten great reviews across the country, and I think it's a wonderful pairing with I'm Not a Comedian, I'm Lenny Bruce, and we will talk more about that with Ronnie Marmo momentarily. In more than one way, Ronnie Marmo is breathing new life into the previously closed Biograph Theater. Y'all know where the Biograph Theater is. It's where John Dillinger was killed in the alley just to the south of it. And it has been for many years a fine, fine theater. Upstairs is the Richard Christensen Theater, where Ronnie will be performing not only his Lenny Bruce show, but starting Thursday, excuse me, Bill W. and Dr. Bob. What's that about, Ronnie?
So Bill W. and Dr. Bob is the origin story of how these two men came together and essentially started Alcoholics Anonymous, the greatest movement of the 20th century. So... It's it's really wild. It takes place in 1935, and it spans 20 years, the show. And it's a beautiful show. It's, you know, you hear that, you think, oh, it's going to be a big bummer. But no, it's funny, it's inspirational, it's uplifting, there's some drama. And it's a really cool show, and I'm proud to present it here in Chicago.
Well, you and this show go back a long way. You started, I'm very curious about this, you started going to AA when you were 17. Is that right, or did I miss a number there?
No, you didn't miss a number. Actually, earlier than that, I was a wild teenage, to say the least. But, you know, yeah, listen, I was pretty reckless as a kid, and I found my way into a couple of different 12-step programs, and it turned out to save my life, you know. And so this play has always been dear to my heart, and about 25 years ago, somebody tried to cast me in it, and I wasn't available, and so I always kept it in my back pocket. And then about 20 years ago, I decided to put it on in L.A., and I directed it, had some wonderful actors, and since then, I've probably done, I think I've done five productions.
Wow.
And they've, wow. And they've ran, you know, sometimes they run 3 months, 6 months. And so my hope is that it catches on here in Chicago and we run for a while. That's really what
Well, one of the things you told me and one of the things I've gathered from all the reviews I've read of the show is that it is not some preachy, moralistic kind of, hey, please join AA kind of thing. It's really a very dramatic telling of how these two characters first met. And it's really kind of, to my mind, it's kind of an amazing story how they did meet and came to found AA. That must
yeah,
be.
Yeah, you're absolutely yeah. right. Yeah.
And
well,
you,
it's not a big deal. You, people think that. Nobody's preaching in this show. In fact, if anything, it's the opposite. You just kind of see how it all unfolded and how these two men met in this chance meeting. And it like, and you also meet the women who kind of, you see the origin of Al-Anon.
Al-Anon. Yeah, I had, that's something I had no idea that it was their wives who started Al-Anon.
Yeah.
That's so pretty amazing, too. How was it for you? How is it for you to play Bill W? I mean, if something that you've directed so many times with other actors, you must bring something relatively deep to your portrayal.
Well, I certainly try. You know, it's interesting to watch. I've had a few Bill W's in my life, so I do my in terms of doing the show over 20 years. So
yeah.
I try not to imitate the great actors I've directed. I try to make it my own. You know, but it's really a wild experience playing Bill. This guy who I very much identify with, not just the alcohol, but even his characteristics,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of, you know, as high as he gets is as low as he gets within a minute. I mean, he's pretty manic. He's all over the place.
And well, he was, correct me if I'm wrong, he was a stockbroker, right? A pretty high-flying, successful stockbroker, yes?
Yes, he was. And in fact, he was a stockbroker who had a humongous ego, but he was so likable and charming, and he actually turned down a job with Einstein. He said that he was smarter than him, and so he thought he should take the job.
Well, then he was so an idiot, too, but that's another...
Well, exactly.
Or he was drunk when he made that decision.
Well, exactly. Well, here's the thing, Rick. This guy would, like, he revolutionized the way they handled stocks, and he would go around investigating companies, and he was brilliant, but then at night he'd be, you know, sleeping in the gutter drunk. And so
he
was a true alcoholic, you know, and so it's wild to play him and then play Lenny on the other night in repertory. You know, it's going to be interesting to do this in rep and to play Lenny Bruce, who, like, obviously never found recovery. And I thought it was interesting. I thought about it this morning, and I said, well, Lenny died at 40 from an overdose, and Bill found recovery at 39. So I find that really interesting. It was basically the same age, and one guy went one way, and the other one went the other way.
Yeah, I think this is going to be an amazing kind of emotional experience for you. You're doing Bill W. and Dr. Bob begins this week, and then Lenny opens on March 14th. The other great thing about you're starting a, it's kind of like you're starting your own theater company here. You are hiring local actors because this is not a one-man show. It's not even a two-man show. How big is the cast?
Six people in the cast. Yeah, it's six people. And it was really important to me because I have two casts in L.A. who can do the show.
Yeah.
It was important to me. Having spent time in Chicago, I understand how wonderful these actors are and how important it is to the actors of Chicago to find opportunities. And
sure.
So I thought, well, let me put my money where my mouth is and just come here and find local great actors and great humans. And not only did I cast five other people, I understudied all six of them, and I gave those understudies guaranteed performances just so it's worth their time. I know that's, you know, slightly taboo, but I want everyone.
Well, but it's also refreshingly altruistic too. I mean, I find it terribly refreshing because there are a lot of understudies. I mean, they love working in the theater and they love understudying certain roles, but they do so without knowing that they are unlikely to ever be on stage in this particular show. I think it's really a giving kind of thing for you to do. What is I will always call her your bride. What does Janelle do? Janelle is involved with you on every level. How is she involved in the productions?
Well, you know, she's my rock. So without her, I'd probably fall apart. But she's a producer on this. She helps me in every way. I mean, she's really a catch-all and does so much. But I also gave her the opportunity because, you know, when we came here, my wife's a wonderful actress. And so I had to say to her, look, honey, I think it's best that we cast Chicago actors. And I know you want to do the role of Lois, but I think we should find a local gal to do that. So she graciously kind of stepped aside and said, I understand. And then when we got here, I said, do you want to understudy and get to do a couple of shows? And she was like, yes.
Oh, that's so great. That's so great.
She and I are going to do it together as husband and wife on the 30th and 31st. We're going up all of this weekend.
God, it's too bad you missed Valentine's Day.
Exactly.
You have a lot of friends here in Chicago, and I'm sure they'll come out in support of this. And I, as you said before, Ronnie Marmo, there are a number of people who have seen the Lenny Bruce show a number of times, and not just me, but a number of people. What do you think brings them back? Do you think it is that kind of humor and that kind of social commentary is missing these days?
You know, I think so. I mean, you know, cancel culture, freedom of speech, First Amendment, comedy clubs being a sacred free speech zone. You know how I feel about all that.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, I had written that op-ed that you got released, which I was really grateful last year. But, you know, I think there's so many elements to the show that bring people to it. And if I remove myself and not go, hey, I'm a good actor, yay. If it's not about me for a second.
Yeah, no.
It's a beautiful production. The lights are beautiful. The sound is beautiful. It's a Broadway-level show. It's just got all the elements. I always feel, Rick, like people don't come to the theater to see me. They come to the theater to see themselves in me. And if I'm not, if they can't identify on some level and explore themselves watching a show, then I'm not doing my job.
Yeah, good point.
It's not about me. It's about what do I evoke in people watching the show. I feel that way about Bill W. as well.
I can't wait to see. I can't wait to see both of them again. Lenny again. It'd be my 304th time, but I saw it in that amazing place in New York. I can't remember the name of it.
You saw a closing night in New York.
Right? Yeah.
You were in closing night.
Who was it I talked to? Ben Vereen was in the audience.
Ben Vereen was there.
It was quite something. And you guys, you and your bride are staying in an apartment a few blocks north of the theater, and you're enjoying enjoying Chicago. Ronnie sent me a little picture of he and Janelle on the lakefront, and with a little note, it was as if, oh my God, you guys got a lake here? This is unbelievable.
And I said, hey, I didn't know about this lake. Where'd you get this lake?
Where'd you get this? It was wintertime when I was here. It's wintertime.
I was like, has this always been here, this lake, or is this something new?
Ladies and gentlemen, you will see ads for the shows, but you can go to LennyBruceOnStage.com. Or Bill W. and Dr. Bob on stage.com to get tickets.